organizers for inviting me to give a talk here, and it's a very inspiring workshop. So my talk is not going to be holographic, but the various issues we have seen will come up in my talk. Okay, so I will talk about the topological insulators, and in particular, I will talk about field theories for that. Pointer. Okay, so I will start with the introduction. So what do I mean by a field series for topological insulators, and what I want to do? And I want to illustrate this motivation by reviewing the quantum Hall effect. Okay, so the quantum Hall effect, you can think of this as a older version of topological insulator. It is the best known and best studied a topological state of matter. And for that, microscopically, we have a Landau levels. So this is the energy levels equally spaced, and you have a degenerate state. But you fill up these states to form a particular incompressible state, which is a quantum Hall effect. And in terms of transport, you see nice plateaus for the Hall conductance. Many plateaus, and the so sigma xy Hall conductance is quantized in the unit of e squared over h, and in particular in terms of transport, it means you have a Chan Simons term for the external source. Okay. Oh, this is the interface. Thank you very much. Okay. Right. Okay, so Chan Simons theory, it's relevant for the quantum Hall effect. But here, the Chan Simons term really describes the response to the system. Here, I want to derive another kind of Chan Simons theory, which describes the internal degrees of freedom itself. Right. So the usual route to get the Chan Simons theory for the hydrodynamic degrees of freedom, or maybe so-called the hydrodynamic field theory, is the following. I think there are many ways to get it, but one way to get such a hydrodynamic description is something we call a composite particle series, and I will describe a bosonic version of it. So remember now. So we have a microscopically, you have many electrons filling up around the levels. And that's a microscopic description, but just like a fluid mechanics, or exactly like fluid mechanics, we want to have a description in terms of densities, not in terms of current, not in terms of individual electrons. Okay, so we start from electrons, and as I said, electrons are experiencing a uniform magnetic field, a unit here, and they are forming a Landau level. Okay, and we already know that microscopically it's insulator with quantized quantum Hall conductance. But now I want to derive something hydrodynamic. So I will use something we call a flux attachment or statistical transmutation. So I go from fermions or electrons, and I use a Chan Simons gauge field to change the statistics of psi. Okay, so this phi, which is related to the original electron, is essentially the electrons dressed with the external flux, and they are bosons. Okay, so more mathematically, take this action, which has a kinetic term identical, almost identical to the electrons, but now it couples to the statistical Chan Simons field alpha, and the alpha has a Chan Simons kinetic term, and there are a bunch of potential other terms. And I forgot to write down the temporal component for alpha, but there are temporal components. Okay, so take the equation of motion for the temporal component of the Chan Simons gauge field. You see that the boson density is tied to the flux of the Chan Simons field. And that says anytime this boson moves, flux by alpha always move together. And you can arrange in such a way that this flux, fictitious flux, at least on average, cancel the background a magnetic field exactly. Okay, so in that kind of a description, on average, bosons are moving in the space with zero magnetic field, so they can condense. Right. So once they condense, you can use a duality between boson and vortex in 2 plus 1 dimension. So in condensed phase, you can rewrite this action where bosons are condensing in terms of another U1 gauge field, which is the known boson-vortex duality in 2 plus 1D. So you have a scalar. You can transform it to a boson. So now this boson field, which is A, couples to a Chern-Simons field, as in the original boson theory, right? So this is something we call the Ginzburg-Landau-Chern-Simons theory. And interestingly, none of these people wrote down this equation. These people wrote down this equation. But that's the essentially composite particle theory for the fractional quantum, or as well as integer quantum Hall effect. If you integrate over this statistical Chern-Simons gauge field, you can write down the theory solely in terms of this gauge field A, which really describes the density of electrons. So nothing else. Okay. So this is the called hydrodynamic field theory for the quantum Hall effect, and you can think of this as the topological part of the fluid dynamics describing fractional quantum Hall effect. You can add more terms that can describe a interesting phenomenon such as Hall viscosity and other phenomena. But at the kind of zero solar level, this is the field theory description for the quantum Hall effect that describes statistics, for example, of the quasi-particle. So this is a success story for the fractional quantum Hall effect. And essentially, I want to develop something equivalent, not in the quantum Hall effect, but in the topological insulator. Okay. Okay. So what is topological insulators? So I will give a very brief description for that. Essentially, just like a quantum Hall effect is characterized by a interesting transport phenomena, topological insulators are also characterized by a characteristic transport phenomena, which is often called a topological magnetoelectric effect or axial electrodynamics. So so what happens is the following. So take the 3D topological insulator. Okay, so now it's a 3D state. And I have a topological insulator inside the cylinder. All right. So now we apply an electric field along this direction, but if we do that, we induce the magnetization in the same direction, and the vice versa. If you apply magnetic field here, you instead induce polarization. Okay, so that's why it's called magnetoelectric effect. So a magnetic and electric degrees of freedom are cross-correlated. That is described by, in terms of a external field, it is described by the axion term supplemented with the Maxwell term. So this is playing the role of the Chern-Simons term for the external field in this context. Okay, and there's a microscopic understanding of how these phenomena happen, but I'm not going to describe because I'm not really interested in microscopic things. I'm only interested in something I can see macroscopically. Okay. Okay. So for topological insulators, although we know the theory for the response, which is summarized here, question is there hydrodynamic type of description, just like we have a hydrodynamic Chan-Simon theory for the integer quantum Hall effect. And there is a motivation for this. One of the main issue in the field topological insulators are the effect of interactions. So people have observed a topological insulators, but they are essentially band insulators with interesting characteristics, but band insulators are not interacting. So they could use photo emission experiment, for example, to observe the surface mode, non-interacting surface mode, which is responsible for the response I described. But beyond such a non-interacting topological insulators, you can ask more interesting questions. For example, if there's interactions, can these what is the fate of these topological insulators? Or, well, perhaps more ambitiously, you can think of a kind of a topological state which arises purely because of interactions. So instead of considering topological insulators, which has some limit, non-interacting limit, which you can understand, there may be something we would call a fractional version of topological insulator, just like there's a fractional quantum Hall effect. Okay. So for these kind of physics, we should depart from the non-interacting microscopic descriptions, and one strategy would be to develop a effective field theory descriptions. Okay. I should say there's I'm not the only one who is trying to build such theory, and there are a couple of works which I will try to describe a little bit later. But in the end, from my point of view, I ended up using very very simple, systematic, but rather straightforward way to develop such theories. Okay, so I will use something we call functional bosonization, and it has been developed by many people. But I'm using one particular presentation of this. So it's a very simple recipe, only two slides. So let me explain. So you have a microscopic fermion system, okay? It is described by some action, which may have interactions, I don't specify, but you have a fermion system, and I will focus entirely on the correlation function of conserved quantities, okay? So I have a current, which is derived from this action by taking a functional derivative as usual way, and I entirely focus on this. Okay, so fermions, microscopic descriptions, and I want to try this description with some other description, bosonic description. Okay, looking at this action, I will first make use of a U1 gauge invariance. So I'm assuming current is conserved, and I have a gauge invariance, so I can sift the partition function by a some gauge potential, provided A is a pure gauge. Okay, so it doesn't have a curvature. I will average over such pure gauge. There's some normalization, but anyway, I will average over such pure gauge. Okay, integration of a pure gauge may be complicated, but you can simply impose such constraint by using the auxiliary field. So I demand the F mu nu for small a, which is the fictitious variable introduced, to be zero for all directions, because it has to be pure gauge. I impose this by introducing a additional field B, which couples to a F mu nu in this way. So integrating over B sets F mu nu to be zero for all directions. So this is in three dimensions, this is a two form, and it imposes the delta function constraint for F mu nu. Okay, and as you change dimensions, B mu nu have more indices, but A is always a one form. Okay, so this is just exactly writing, and the final step, which is perhaps not entirely necessary, but nevertheless is convenient. So I sift A to A plus capital A, and this is a resulting action. And now action is written entirely in terms of bosonic variables A and B. Of course, I cheated a little bit because this capital Z, which is the fermion partition function, is still there. Okay. But supposing I could do something for this a fermionic partition function, the rest is entirely written in terms of bosonic gauge field, and I have a three fields, A mu, one form, and B mu nu, which is two form in three dimensions, and the external source, which is there. Okay. So B is coupling to a curvature for small a, as well as curvature for the capital A, which is external field. And this form suggests that density, or sorry, current, is given by a derivative of V with this epsilon symbol. So we establish the bosonization rule, where J mu nu is translated into a dB. Okay. It's a simple recipe, of course. The difficulty here is integrating over fermion here. But for the case of band insulators, we could do this integral because fermions are not interacting. So I could start from here. Okay. So if you of course know about the boson fermion equivalence or bosonization in 1+1 dimensional system, this is the same thing, just written in a very different way maybe. In terms of a functional language. So I first illustrate that point. So in 1+1 dimension, you have a fermion. It can be gapped, can be insulating, or can be gapless, which is conducting. Either way, for 1+1 fermions, you can establish the equivalence between fermion theories and the boson series. And in this dimension, B doesn't have an index, so it's a scalar. And the current, if you remember the bosonization rule, current is related to the derivative of V. Okay. So this is just a bosonization identity of the U1 current. And the I don't say much more because I will describe a topological insulators in higher dimensions. But you could apply this formalism to 1+1D version of topological insulator, which may not be interesting, but you can still do it. And that's give rise to a 1+1D version of something we call BF theory, where if you remember the previous slide, B couples to curvature of A, and this gives you a coupling of BF type, where in this dimension B is B doesn't have an index. But it is supplemented with this 1+1D version axiom term. Okay, so this is just a simple exercise, and it works as expected. In 2+1 dimensions, so as I change dimensions, situations gets more interesting. And 2 dimensions, you could actually use this formalism, not to quantum Hall effect, but to the ordinary insulator. And then you get the description of band insulator in terms of these gauge view, B mu and A mu. So band insulator is a gapped system of electrons, essentially no excitations in the low energy limit. And since it's not the quantum Hall effect, no interesting response. So it's a very empty theory. But nevertheless, you could develop such theory. And you could write down the theory, okay? And this is actually a theory which was sort of, well, I shouldn't say guessed entirely, but people have speculated that there's such a description for insulating system. Both Mott insulators and band insulators as well, but this functional bosonization sort of gives a systematic way to derive such a dualization procedure of a band insulator. So this is the effective theory of the ordinary band insulator. And in this case, theory turns out to be almost empty, as it should, because there's nothing interesting in the band insulator. Okay. I don't present how I say it's empty, because this case is not interesting anyway. But you could check that there's no interesting excitations in the system. Okay. I should also mention that this theory resembles to the effective theory of BCS superconductor, which is again a gapped state of matter, But it's now more interesting, of course, than the band insulator. Okay. In this case, BF term describes the interesting statistics between vortices and the quasi particles in superconductor, and the theory does have interesting excitations, giving rise to the ground state degeneracy if the system is put on the non-trivial topology. Okay. But now, okay, so this is just the warm up. So I'm slowly getting to the effective description of topological insulator. So this is a final exercise. So for the quantum Hall effect, you could repeat this exercise to get a BF theory now supplemented with the Chan-Simons term. And this is essentially the same effective field theory as we get in the beginning of this talk. So if you remember, you had a one gauge field, which I wrote A, and you also had a statistical Chan-Simons term, which is alpha Chan-Simons in my notation, and you have a two gauge field, and then you get the same theory by repeating this analysis. Okay, so this is a kind of one way to get the effective field theory without using composite particle theory, but you get the same result. Okay. And this case theory is of course more interesting, but I don't describe because people, I think, I assume you're familiar with quantum Hall effect. Okay, no questions so far. Okay. All right. So now finally I will get to the point where I describe these 3D topological insulators. Okay. So I will focus on a particular kind of topological insulator, which is somewhat easier than the ordinary topological insulator. I could do this ordinary topological insulator, but I will do it later. So let me say what do I mean by particular kind. So I'm interested in topological insulator characterized by an integer topological invariant, which is written symbolically here, and I don't describe the details of this topological invariant because that's irrelevant for my talk. But the bottom line is that there's a 3D topological insulator characterized by integer topological invariant, as opposed to a Z2 topological invariant, which is a case for the time reverse symmetric topological insulator. That's something people are interested in recently. This is a different kind of topological insulator, but it does have a magneto-topological-magneto-electric effect. Okay, so this one is easier because it's characterized by integer topological invariant. Okay, and the microscopic model, there's such a microscopic model you can write down. So for example, you start from a Kogut-Susskind a Stargardt fermion on the cubic lattice. So there's some pi fluxes threading this a facet of the cubic lattice, but for the Stargardt fermions are gapless. Okay. However, you can give a mass to the Stargardt fermions by putting this diagonal imaginary hopping, and this arrow indicates the phase you put. So depending on the direction, you have to put a I or minus I, and that's too complicated to write down. But anyway, it's pictorially written here. And it's just a fermion hopping on a lattice. Okay, and this microscopic model turns out to be a topological insulator, not protected by time reversal symmetry, but protected by the following particle Hall symmetry. So here I have an A sublattice and B sublattice, right? So that's the important ingredient for the Stargardt fermion, and I have a symmetry for fermion P, where this a particle Hall transformation acts in a different way for A and B sublattice. So you have an additional minus sign when fermions are on B sublattice, but if it is on A sublattice, there's no minus sign here. Okay, right. I will use this particle Hall symmetry, which allows me to define topological invariant. Okay. So anyway, this is the microscopic description. I think I don't have to go into the details of this part, but let me just say this fermion hopping model do exhibit a magnetoelectric effect. So the question is, this is just like a lambda level problem, but now I want to to write down an effective heuristic for this particular model, and it is as simple as before. So if I just follow the same procedure, since we are now in three dimensions, we have a two form b mu nu, which couples to again a one form a mu, and the also external view a mu. And the instead of Chen Simon's term, we have this axion term, theta f wedge f. And there's also a Maxwell term for a as well. Okay, so this is the effective field theory derived from the functional bosonization procedure. One can check a few things. First of all, if you integrate over all matter field, where I mean a b and a small a, you get the action for the a external field a. That does give me that does show this axion response. There's the a coupling to theta. Okay, I should also mention that theta is of course related to the topological invariant of the microscopic fermion system. Okay, so I didn't use a composite particle theory or a statistical transmission mutation approach because beyond a two dimensions, it is less obvious how I could do that in higher dimensions. But nevertheless, the resulting action suggests that this A, which looks a lot like a statistical gauge field, attaches a monopole density to the current. Okay, so equation motion, which tells you that dB, which is by bosonization identity, is related to current, is related to the this density. And if theta is constant, this term is non-zero only when there's a monopole. Okay. So although I didn't start by using sort of monopole attachment to derive such theory, the resulting theory suggests that I'm doing something like that. Okay. There's a previous proposal for the field theory descriptions for the topological insulators, and the interestingly, this derivation is almost very similar to the previous derivation. Except the previous proposal doesn't have a previous proposal by these people, Cho Moore, doesn't have a axion term. Okay, and I don't know how they come up with this action. If there's no monopole for the small a field, I can relate their action to mine by a two-form gauge transformation. Okay, so that may be related to their effective theories. Okay. How much time do I have?
15 minutes.
Good. So now, this is simple derivation for the effective field theory. Now I want to do two more things. Okay. So first, as I promised, I want to derive time reverse symmetric version of this. So here I have the integer topological invariant, but the if the time reversal symmetry is the important symmetry for the topological insulator, we have a topological state characterized by Z2 index, not the integer. So I want to comment on the effective field theory for such systems. Okay. So the idea is actually to start from a five-dimensional theory and reduce the dimension by one. Okay, so let me actually go back to this later. So the idea is essentially there already when people were developing the effective heuristic for responses for topological insulators. So these people, Chi, Hu Zhang, they started from a topological insulator in five dimensions, and they wrote down the response theory for that, which is actually the five-dimensional Chen Simon theory. But they reduced this dimension by one, okay, by compactifying a one direction. So the motivation for this compactification comes from, I think partially comes from a microscopic consideration. So if you take a microscopic topological insulators defined on the 4D lattice, okay, 4 plus 1D system, and if you shrink one direction, you actually get the 3 plus 1 dimensional topological insulator, okay? Yes?
When you do that kind of compactification, that then the properties of your coefficients, for example, in that lower dimensional theory will depend on how exactly you compactify, right?
Yes, so I'm just using S1. Mm. Okay.
Is it clear that that is the right thing to do?
Right, so as I said, it was motivated by the compactification they worked out at the microscopic level. In principle, you could compactify on, for example, sphere or something. I think that may lead to a interesting system where we have a maybe non-abelian symmetry, whereas here we don't have such symmetry, so it's for maybe the easiest choice, but there may be an interesting choice here. Okay. So idea is that just to follow the dimensional reduction of a fermion system, and we do that at the level of effective field theory. So we first start from 5 dimensions, and I use the functional bosonization to write down the effective field theory for the 5 dimensional non-interacting topological insulator, which is again DF theory, but now with a 5 Leach and Simons term, and I just dimensionally reduce it. I could do this actually twice. So if I dimensionally reduce once, I get a 3 plus 1 dimensional time reversal symmetric topological insulator. If I do this twice, I get the another kind of topological insulator now living in 2 plus 1 dimensions, which is called quantum spin Hall effect. Okay. So simply by doing this, we get the theory which looks almost like the theory we got before, except we have more fields, okay? Because we started from three form D, and I have a 5 component of A field and so on and so forth. So I get a theory written in terms of 3 form and the 1 form and the form the field we had before, 2 form. And the one forming. Okay. So I could do this at least in that way. And the one consequence from this is that one could easily check the response which is produced by these effective actions are consistent with what we expect microscopically. Okay. Okay. So this is the first comment. And if there's no questions, I will move on to the application to interacting systems. Okay. Now so far everything is non-interacting, but as I said in the motivation, one primary motivation for doing this exercise is to get some insight for interacting possibly fractionalized topological insulators. Okay. And experimentally, unlike fractional quantum Hall effect, we don't have an experimental system which realizes the fractional topological insulator yet. We don't have that. But at least numerically, for example, we could ask such questions. And here's a perhaps maybe too simple, I don't know, but this is at least the first system where we could see fractional topological insulator in 2 dimensions. 3 dimensions are difficult for numerics, but for example, 2 plus 1 dimensions, we could look for a fractionalized version of topological insulators or quantum spin Hall effect. So I just take a particular Hubbard type model. I have some kinetic term which gives rise to a topological insulator and added some short range interactions U and V. And there's some parameter which is a spin orbit interactions I can tune. And this is the kind of phase diagram. I'm just pressing this phase diagram to you. So at least in some region, the phase diagram, so this plot represents the ground state degeneracy. And numerically, we don't have exact degeneracy. So this color is quantifying how good the degeneracy is. And here, for this blue region, I have a 9-fold ground state degeneracy on the torus, whereas for these red regions, I have a 3-fold ground state degeneracy. Okay, and for this region, at least, we have a 9-fold degeneracy which we know it should be a fractional version of spin quantum Hall effect, because by switching off a spin orbit interaction adiabatically, we can reach a limit where two quantum Hall liquid, we have a decoupled fractional quantum Hall liquid with opposite magnetic field. Okay, so this is the simplest limit where we can take, but this fractional quantum spin Hall liquid survives for a finite region of the phase depth. Okay. So this is actually just to show you that as a matter of principle, such fractional phase can exist.
Okay. This is 2+1 dimensions, right?
This is 2+1 dimensions. 3+1 dimensions, of course, it's getting more more difficult, even numerically, but I'm just showing this simplest.
So lambda is a Rushbaum interaction?
Lambda is a Rushbaum interaction, yes. Okay, so and there are those other interesting regions which we partially understood, but it's at least not related to fractional quantum spin Hall rate.
Is this adiabatically connected to two copies of Laplace?
Yes, yes. That's what that is the motivation of tuning this parameter, to check that we could reach this limit where we have a two decoupled quantum forces.
Red one is something different.
Yeah, so, okay, so you see many white regions, right? And basically, we don't understand these regions. Here we have a key broken fractional quantum Hall state with 3/4 Gram state degeneracy. And this is a phase where it doesn't break T, but degeneracy is only 3. And 3 is not the square, it's not a square of some number. So that suggests it's something which cannot be described by at least Abelian version of quantum, fractionalized quantum spin Hall. Okay. And what I will try to do is not the composite particle theory because that is the strategy which cannot be applied to higher dimensions, but I will use something different, so which is the something we call parton construction. So well, to make a long story short, we start from an electron and I split electron into many pieces. Okay, and I finally I put these partons into different topologically ordered phase, and finally I grew them back. Okay, and just to show you very quickly, such strategy does produces a sensible a gapped wave functions with interesting topological order, which you could check by calculating topological entanglement entropy. So there's such numerics, and the that again shows the such method may be a good strategy to construct a wave functions as well as effective field theories for fractionalized phases. And since I'm running out of time, I will be very quick. So as I said, I described this procedure for the fractional quantum Hall effect. So I split this electron charge into many species. And here, for example, I split my electrons in such a way that I could realize this a fraction mu, okay? And m and p are some integers, but I focus on the case where m is 1. So in this particular case, I prepare p plus 1 species of parton, and I put all these partons into the integer quantum Hall effect. But now I remember, after that, I remember that partons actually just represent a single electron. That means all these densities must be identified, okay? They must be sitting on top of each other to describe a physical electron. So if I impose such concept, so I first build functional bosonization effective field theory for partons, but then I use this constraint, and then I get the multi-component Chan-Simons theory with some constraint, and that you can show that is equivalent to the known effective field theory. So for the fractional quantum Hall effect, parton construction is equivalent to the composite particle series. Okay. The nice thing about the parton construction is, of course, that we can go higher dimensions. So if I do this for 3+1 dimensions, again, the same procedure, I split electrons into many partons, and partons are now in their non-interacting topological insulator state, but they impose some constraint, okay? So such kind of effective field theory if you work out this constraint, gives you this effective theory, which is almost the same as before, except the theta is fractional. Okay, so that is something we could call fractional version of magnetoelectric effect, and so that is describing the at least the fractional version of the potential. Okay, so to sum up. So we found, I didn't invent functional bosonization, but functional bosonization seems to be a good strategy for developing effective theory series, especially for the topological incidence, but maybe for other systems as well. But with that, we can construct a effective theory series for non-interacting as well as interacting topological theory series. For the interacting topological incidences, okay? So as I said, this may be applied to systems other than topological insulators, such as topological superconductors, but that may be a future problem. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Questions?
Gapless system can do similar thing.
In 1+1D, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in 2+1D, only in large n, large number of flavors.
But not two.
Yeah, I mean if you could integrate over Fermi exactly, you already solved the problem, and you have to do some approximations.
Yeah, perhaps a very general question. SLA is the basic structure of the topological field theory describing supersonimensional topological insulators. But there would also be staring at this BF series, right? And you have these two forms.
Right.
And then the question that's really in my head is like, in 2+1 dimensions, we know that they have broad defects, right?
Mm-hmm.
The quasar holes and the topological statistics and
special
statistics.
Right.
And somehow, when I stare at BF theory, I think that it also describes bulk effects that are like strings.
Right? That's right.
Two form Gatesville is somehow sourced by a stringy object.
Yes.
Right, and then the only example I know is really the dislocation lines in simple topological
bending slope. That's right.
Right, and then the question arises how to generalize it, how to think further about it. Have you any thought about it?
Generalize to what? okay.
Like these sort of interacting non-band topological insulators.
Yes. Yes. I see. So perhaps what I could do is to bosonize the situation you are describing, and I would bosonize in the following way. I introduce the background torsion, and here I bosonize U1 current. But I could bosonize a translational current or momentum current, and I could bosonize, and I could even fractionalize such situations. And then I could have a theory between in terms of torsion, maybe also in terms of spin connections, which has an analog of these terms, maybe with fractional coefficient, that may describe an interacting version of.
In this parton construction, you have this parton, so also boson. So
here I'm using fermions.
Fermions.
Yeah. So I split electron into a odd number of partons. Yeah, I should have said.
So does your BF theory give the Gapless set?
Yes, so that is of course an interesting question. I haven't really worked out everything, but people have quantized BF theory even in this audience, and even with boundaries, of course, and people could see a boundary modes. Here we have a theta term in addition to the ordinary BF term, and it seems to me that it does do almost nothing in terms of this ordinary VF quantization. But except you have to take into account, what should I say? So as Jan mentioned, so there's an interesting statistics set by this theta. And that is expected to show up in the boundary theory, which I could see in the following way. So instead of quantizing the bulk action with boundary to get the boundary excitations, I could first write down a 2 plus 1 de fermion theory living on the boundary, and I could functionally bosonize this system, like a question, okay? And in that case, I could see an interesting statistics between a vortex and the charge. And so far, I couldn't reproduce such statistics starting from the bulk action by quantizing it with boundaries. But yeah, so there's some interesting issue.
Okay, let's thank Sanjay again.